I have the privilege of teaching the His Design Adult Bible Fellowship. That's what we call our adult Sunday school classes here. It is a couples class. It meets right in this room. So I feel right at home in here this afternoon. And I've had the privilege of doing that for about 3 years. I have the privilege of overseeing all of our adult Bible fellowships here in the church. We have about 50 classes divided by life stage. And we have some wonderful teachers and some great servants of the Lord involved in that ministry. It's my joy and my privilege to co-labor with them. We're going to talk today about building a growing class. Now, on the way in, you should have gotten a handout, one sheet of paper folded with some notes to follow along. Did anybody not get that coming in? All right. And do we have some staff right here? Thank you. And Miss Autumn will grab those. And keep your hand up if you need the handout. We'll get that to you. And right over here, perfect. And make sure you get the handout and ready to go. Through the lesson, I'm going to reference several pieces or resources and materials that we use here, and we have some resource tables in the back with a sampling of those materials and resources on them. So if you hear something in the lesson, you think, man, I'd like to get a copy of that. Afterwards, Miss Autumn, who's on our team, right back here, Miss Autumn, wave at me, and then Miss Brianna right back here, they'll be at these tables. You can stop by, pick up anything you want, take it home for free. It's just an idea. Hopefully it'll be a help, an encouragement, and a blessing. Building a growing class. Now imagine a Sunday school class where the lost are being reached, lives are being changed, and leaders are being developed. And a class in a context like that, no doubt you would be having an impact on the congregation, but greater than that, you would be making a difference in your community. And I believe that that's what God wants us to do. The theme of this conference, I will build. And we know the Lord does the work, but He invites us to co-labor with Him. And I, for one, am grateful for that opportunity. And I want to do that with my life. And I believe you share that passion. And that's why you are here. And we want to be about accomplishing the Lord's work in our lives, in our ministry, and accomplishing the Great Commission and as He has given us to do. Now, to kind of introduce where we're going to go, I want us to look in Numbers 14. I think there's a couple of verses there in your handout. And we come to the portion in the history of God's people where the Hebrews are being led by Moses to the Promised Land. And just before we get to the 14th chapter of Numbers, they have been delivered from their bondage. They have been freed from their enemies, from their hunger, from their thirst, from their abuse, from the terrible condition and situations that they found themselves in. And now an opportunity was just on the horizon to conquer the Promised Land and to begin living the life that God intended for them. And just prior to this conquest, they decide, let's select 12 men and let's scout out this opportunity, this conquest, this taking of this land, and then we'll get the report and we'll go from there. Well, we know the story. We sang the song in Sunday school if you grew up in church, and the 12 men went out, 10 came back and said, no way that can be done. And 2, Joshua and Caleb, said, we can do it and God can get it done for us. So the people hear the reports of these 12, 10 saying no and 2 saying, let's go for it. And we see in Numbers 14, verse 4, and they said one to another, here's the people now, their conclusion after this report, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. Let's say that phrase right there together. And let us return into Egypt. Now, can you believe that? Just stop and think for a moment as you live in this story. These are the people that just saw God give the 10 plagues. These are the people that God just led out of Egyptian bondage. These are the people that stood on the bank of the Red Sea when God parted the waters. These are the people that crossed over on dry ground. These are the people that turned around and watched God wipe out the Philistine army. These same people that had a front row seat to the mighty hand of God were promised the Promised Land, sent some men to get a report, heard the report and said, you know what? I don't think we can do it. Let's go back to Egypt. Let's not take God up on His word. Let's not take the Promised Land. I don't think it's going to work for us. Now, I don't know about you, and I wasn't there, but that response, that decision on the people's behalf blows my mind when you can see God working in that way and walk away and say, I don't think He will do it for us. And yes, it was going to take some work. The scouts brought back the report of the giants that were defending the land, the walls that were defending the cities. And yes, it was going to take some work. Yes, it was going to take some investment. But God had promised it to them, but they turned it down. And we see God's response in verse number 23, where the Bible says, surely They shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, prayerfully that could be said of you and I, him will I bring into the land wherein he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now, here's an interesting thing about God. So God brings them to the brink of all of this. They send the scouts to scout it out. They come back. They, because of lack of faith, hearing this report, decide not to go. And listen, God doesn't make them go. God promised them the promised land. Had they had gone, they would have won. Because God promised them the promised land. It was theirs for the taking. It doesn't matter how big the giants were. It doesn't matter how fortified the city walls were. None of that matters. The odds do not matter. They had God. That's all that matters. But they got their eyes in the opposition, and in their hearts they decided, we can't do it. And God said, okay. God wasn't doubting himself, but he wasn't going to make the people go. Whether or not you and I want to build, make a difference, be a part of life-changing work, God can. But he won't make us do it. We will come to the brink over and over and over and over again in ministry life of whether or not we want to go to the promised land. And God says, I'll give it to you. And God says, yeah, there's going to be some opposition. Listen, there's nothing worth doing if it's not going to take a little work to get it done. And that's just the way it works. There's going to be all of that. But God says, if you'll do it, if you'll do it according to my plan, if you'll do it in my power, it can happen. But some people just don't want it to happen. And therefore, they never see it happen in their life and in their ministry. A grandfather was telling his grandchildren about his exploits from his military service, and he was explaining how he had served in the armed forces as a paratrooper, and his grandchildren were listening to that, and they were just kind of ooh and ah and hearing their granddad talk about it. And one of his grandchildren said, Granddad, exactly how many jumps did you make? And he looked at it for a minute, and he said, well, actually, I didn't make any. And another grandchild kind of looked at him puzzled and said, well, I thought you said you were a paratrooper. How can you be a paratrooper if you never jumped out of a plane? And he said, well, I never jumped out of the plane, but I was pushed out over 40 times. Now, the paratrooper's job is to jump. And the task of a Sunday school leader, a teacher, someone overseeing the Sunday school ministry, is to engage the people in the Great Commission work, to build something to God's honor and glory. And sometimes we have classes or Sunday school ministries who are enjoying the plane ride. They're enjoying the fellowship in the plane. They're enjoying the scenery they can see from the plane. But when it comes to jumping, nobody gets out of their seat. And sometimes if you and I are going to lead a growing ministry, whether it's our own class or a Sunday school ministry as a whole, depending on how your role may apply, it's going to require some work and some battle with the enemy. And let's be honest, sometimes the enemy is us, and sometimes the enemy is some people in the seats. They're already in the class, already in the church. And we've got to engage in that battle. So how can we endeavor to build a growing class? And let's dive into this. First of all, let's look at why should you want your class to grow? Boy, the theme of the conference, I will build. And we're talking about building a growing class. But why possess that desire? And I so appreciated the message last night by our pastor and the thoughts about, listen, if something's alive, it's growing. And young people want to be a part of something that's alive. That's growing. God is not dead. His miracle work is not ended. It's still possible. It can be done. You don't have to compromise. You don't have to change everything. God's work still works today. And we want to be a part of that. But why should we desire that? What is the motive, quickly, as we set the foundation? First of all, it's our obedience to Christ's command. Dr. Getch mentioned that this morning. But it's a command from Christ. In Matthew, we are to go and we are to tell. Soul winning is not a spiritual gift. It's a spiritual discipline. It's something that God wants all of us to do, and he wants us to embody it as a Christian, as a ministry leader, as a Sunday school class teacher, and maybe a superintendent or director or pastor over classes or over the flock. Indeed, the Great Commission is not about our Sunday school or our Sunday school class, but our Sunday school and our Sunday school class should be about the Great Commission. The Sunday school is the church organized to fulfill the mission and purpose of the church. And the mission of the Sunday school is to reach people, teach people, and minister to their needs. That's what we want to be involved in, and that's what we want to be engaged in, and we want to be obedient to Christ's command. I don't want to stand before Christ with regrets. Now, we will, because we're fighting our flesh all the time. But I'd like to have something to lay at His feet. And knowing that, then I need to work at it today, and I need to work at it tomorrow and the day after that. So I want to be obedient to Christ's command. Let it be in order to follow the example of Christ. We know that He called 12 in Luke chapter 6. And then in chapter 10, after these, the Lord appointed others 70 also and sent them two and two before the face into every city and the place, whether He Himself would come. The four Gospels give us the accounts of the calling of the 12 apostles and the training of them. And then Jesus enlisting 70 others as well. And He took these followers. He engaged them in personal spiritual growth. He equipped them to serve. And then He deployed them that His earthly ministry would be extended. And you and I are an extension of Jesus Christ. We are indwelt by the Spirit of God. We are the ambassadors of Christ. And we're going out to make the gospel known in our community and through our classes. And we want to follow that example. So we should desire this because we want to be obedient to Christ. We want to follow His example. Let us see, for the joy that growth brings. For the joy that growth brings. If your class is dead, get some new blood in it. If it's a little stagnant, get some new life in it. There's just something about it. My wife and I are discipling a new couple. They were on the stage last night, Roy and Adriana Goss. They came here on Easter weekend. I visited them the Saturday after that, had the privilege of leading them to the Lord. They were baptized on Sunday, April the 12th, and we're in our fourth week in our continued discipleship program. In week number one, 4 weeks ago, we began to look up verses in the Bible and study them, and they didn't know where the books of the Bible were. So lesson number one was we got to go to the front of the book and find the table of contents and find the book of the Bible and then find the page number it's on. And then the first number in the reference means chapter. Oh, okay. And that's the bigger number. Okay. And then the second number is the verse. Oh, okay. And then you got to find these words. They had no idea. I want to tell you something. There's something exciting being around people like that. Yeah. I would rather be around somebody like that who's trying to figure out where the book of Exodus or this is or that is than somebody who's been there, done that, doesn't even bring their Bible anymore and is waiting for it to get over. There's just something about the joy that growth brings. The Bible tells us that in heaven, all rejoice when just one come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And you and I personally have to decide that we're going to find joy in reaching people, that we personally are involved and engaged in this effort in our ministries and then certainly through our classes as well. Too many Sunday school classes or ministries are too inwardly focused. And we're going to talk about some of the inward connections you do need, but we cannot lose the outward focus that we must possess. Constantly hungry, seeking through the Spirit's filling, who can we reach? Who can we share the gospel of Jesus Christ with? What marriage can we see mended? What family can we see put back together? What life can we see restored? I believe in the transformational life change of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. I believe it. In this room, every Sunday, are people that God has put their life back together. And that's the kind of work I want to be involved in every day of my life. And so these are some motivations to grow. And can I say, before we move on, in order to grow, we have to want to grow. Now, growth is not the end goal. I'm not going to get more rewards for more growth. I'm just going to get rewards for being obedient. I understand that. But in my pursuit of obeying the Lord Jesus Christ, I'd like to see some fruit along the way. If it's just the same to everybody else, and I could be a part of something that's dead or something that's alive, I'd like to be a part of something that's alive. If I could be a part of something that's just stagnant or something that's growing, I'd like to be a part of something that's growing. And I don't know how it is in your area, but in our area, there's still people that need Jesus. There's still people dying and going to hell. There's families falling apart faster than we can keep track of. We can still knock on a door, even though we knock on a bunch and you've already heard about it, and they haven't even heard of Lancaster Baptist Church. That's still the way it is here. And we want to stay fervently, faithfully engaged in the fruit-bearing ministry of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. So just some motivational reasons to want to see growth. Now, I want to kind of step back, if you're an individual, by way of curiosity. How many here, you teach a Sunday school class? Okay, Thank you. And then how many here it would be in your bucket of responsibilities to oversee the Sunday school ministry at your church? Okay, great. All right, so let's step back and let's look at the systematic of the Sunday school ministry. Secondly, why do some Sunday schools grow? Why some systematically are they seeing some growth? And I want us quickly, and we're going to have to move hastily here, to look at some of the 10 best practices of growing Sunday schools. Number one, or letter A, they train their Sunday school leaders. They train their Sunday school leaders. And we're going to come back to that in a few minutes. But one of the best practices or common practices of ministries that as a whole, they've got it together and they're moving forward. A lot of training is happening. A lot of equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. Letter B, they have their pastor's support and promotion. They have their pastor's support and promotion. It's hard to grow and build something that's never mentioned from the pulpit. It's very difficult. Sometimes in some facets it works, but it's very difficult. It's a lot more work to get that done. So you really need the pastor behind it. And there are some pastors in here. Thank the Lord for that. But you need the pastor behind this particular ministry. Letter C, they create space. Growing Sunday schools are always creatively thinking about how to get more room. Why? Because they tell you when you reach 80% of your capacity, start working against yourself. Now, it's typically either in your parking, your seating capacity, or your children's ministry space. For us right now, our barricade is our children's ministry space. It's terrible. And if you have children in our childcare and you're walking from the gym to Modular Z to whatever, we apologize, all right? And as soon as we get the Walther Center done, we're going to move the Spanish in there, and we're going to renovate the North Building, and we're going to get a dedicated children's building, and we're super excited about it for classes like mine with a lot of families with young kids. But we're working through it. But we're knowledgeable of it, and we're working on it. And you want to be creative with your space. And I would say there, be creative with your schedule. We've tried several different schedules here. We right now, our children's ministry essentially have church while we adults have Sunday school. And then when we have church, they have Sunday school. So we can utilize some spaces a little more efficiently, a little more effectively that way. So be creative in space and be creative in your schedule. Letter D. They are assertive about expanding their enrollment. I taught a lesson on this last year. We'll not spend too much time on it. But these ministries are assertive about growing and expanding their enrollment. They're very intentional about it. Who can they minister to? They're constantly looking to add. We were backstage with 160 or so of our newer members last night getting ready for that program. And one of the ladies in my class brought a lady up to me, and her name was Sylvia. And she said, "Brother Rule, now this is my friend, and she's not a new member. In fact, I don't even think she's saved, but she wants to be a part of our church." And so I'm back there backstage last night saying, "Oh, that's great." And we set an appointment up for Saturday afternoon, and it was awesome. It was like, man, that was an answer to prayer. It's going to be a busy week, and we've already got a sewing appointment for Saturday. Praise the Lord. But you always got to be looking, always got to be thinking, boy, who could we continue to minister to? Letter E, they're providing outreach training for their members. Providing outreach training for their members. They're engaging their members, be involved in outreach, and then they're training them for that work for the Lord. People appreciate that. People understand that when they come to your class or to your church, typically, for most, it's because somebody invited them. Might be a coworker, might be a neighbor, might be somebody who just showed up at their door. And they quickly see the value of that. And they very quickly want to be a part of it. But they really appreciate some training and some help along the way. So they're involved in that. Number next, letter F, they're starting new classes. Starting new classes. And a growing Sunday school is always starting new classes. Always, always, always looking to start some new classes. Letter G, they're conducting organized weekly outreach. It's not just some tracks in the lobby, although we have that and we're thankful for it, but it's some organized weekly times to gather together and go out and be a part of the Great Commission work. I find in my life what gets scheduled, what gets calendared, gets done. And when I don't have something blocked off and this is when I'm going to do it, I can go a week or two and it doesn't get done. And I want to make sure that this gets done. This is worthy. And by the way, I think on my own calendar, this is one of the things that gets fought the most. It's amazing how you can have an afternoon blocked off to go door knocking and everything, even good things, will come up to rob that off your calendar. And sometimes you have to push away because if it's an emergency now, it'll be an emergency in 3 hours. I got to go knock some doors. It's just the way it is. You got to be careful. It'll always get robbed, and you want to make sure you're staying after and providing that for the church family as well. Letter H, they're developing and maintaining prospect lists. They're developing and maintaining prospect lists. They're meeting people out and about. They're knocking on their door. They're getting their name. They're getting their address. They're praying for them. They're going back. They're writing letters. They're taking CDs. They're ministering to those people until they can develop the relationship to share the gospel or see them in church. And so they're constantly working on that. Letter I, they have high standards for leaders. I so appreciated Dr. Goetsch's challenge this morning about this trend in ministry today of, boy, if we could just lower the standards, if we could just have less regulations, if we could just do this, if we could just do that, everything would be better. It's hard to measure that mentality up with be holy for I am holy. And these growing Sunday schools, they have a high standard for their leader. We don't need to lower the bar. We just need to teach the Word of God. And so they have this in common. Letter J, they are intentionally organize their classes with growth in mind. They're intentionally organizing their classes with growth in mind. Here we call it life stage classes, and we divide them by maybe their life stage in the sense of single or married or whatever, and then also by their age and maybe in a 10-year increment or so forth, and just trying to get people connected with people they would otherwise be connected with. You don't want people coming to your class or church and feeling like there's no one else in this room like me. That's a way of saying, we're not ready for you. You want people to come into a room and feel like, oh, there's a lot of people like me here. That's what you want them to feel like. And so you want to try to create those environments where they feel comfortable because there's other people just like them there. So those are some practices Sunday schools are doing well. Stepping back and looking at the whole ministry. Thirdly, why some Sunday schools do not grow? Then why do some Sunday schools not grow? Letter A total lack of intention. A total lack of intention. The fact of the matter is there's some teachers and some ministry leaders who don't want to grow. They're at a comfortable size. They're grateful for what God is doing. Their needs are being met. And quite frankly, it could just kind of stay as it is, remain the status quo, and they would be good to go. And that's sad because, again, people need the Lord. People are dying, going to hell, and we should desire a desire to see growth. But in some, there's no desire of that. There's a lack of intention. And by the way, growth does, you don't just stumble on growth. It's like what Einstein said, the definition of insanity, continue to do the same thing you're doing now and expect different results. You don't just, you know, man, all of a sudden we just kind of ran into some growth and these people came out of nowhere and this has been amazing. Now, maybe that happens for you. That doesn't happen for us. For us, it's on the other end of just a lot of work and putting your hand to the plow and so forth. And so, but there's a lack of intention at times. Letter B, there's a lack of leadership. There's a lack of growth in some Sunday school ministries because there's no leadership. There's no one out front leading the way. And certainly that begins with the pastor. And you, if you are the pastor, then you're leading the way in this. If you're not the pastor, but you're leading the Sunday school ministry, you want to make sure you and the pastor stay on the same page. Sometimes, and I grew up in a pastor's home, and I've served a pastor my whole ministry life, and I love it, and I love pastors. But sometimes pastors can get so much on their radar, you have to remind them about the Sunday school or your area of ministry or whatever. And there's nothing wrong with that. If you're passionate about something, advocate for it. Well, I don't know that we need Sunday school this Sunday. We've got this special event. Now, like, we didn't have Sunday school this last Sunday because the ribbon cutting, I got vetoed. But sometimes you got to go to bat for, hey, we got to have that. And by the way, you should feel that way. If you don't feel like we should have it, then why in the world would we go to your class? You got to feel like, man, we got to have this all the time. This is important. It's pivotal and it's vital. So make sure you've got a good relationship with your pastor and make sure the leadership is in unity and leading this thing forward for growth. Letter C. An absence of skills. Sometimes the want-to is there, but the lack of know-how is the problem. There's an absence of skills. Sunday school ministry does not work on autopilot. You've got to continue to grow. You've got to continue to develop. And by the way, thank you for being a part of this conference, and thank you for exhibiting a desire to come and be encouraged and equipped and sharpened and grow. And I want to encourage you, befriend one another, encourage one another. Boy, what are you doing that's working? Oh, that's a blessing. And here's something God's blessing our ear. What book did you read? Who's been encouragement to you? Just constantly be sharpening your skills and communicating, reaching people, building and growing a ministry. It's so important. And we can find so much of that right here in this room together. And we want to make sure we're working in this way. Letter D, through poorly equipped leaders. Some Sunday school ministries are not seeing growth because their leaders are not equipped. It's a sad fact, but many people are bored of going to Sunday school because of the way they're being led in that endeavor through the teacher, or the experience are existing in the class. And we could look at the teacher and say, boy, that's the teacher's fault. But then you trace it back, and it was someone who asked them, hey, would you teach such and such class? Great. And kind of put them in there and said, good luck. Well, no wonder nobody wants to go. We got somebody who doesn't know what they're doing something poorly, and now the Lord and the church have a bad name. But we've got to make sure we're enlisting the right people and equipping the right people all of the time. Sunday school teachers who do not prepare for their time in front of their class. They have no passion. They're not applying the Word of God. They're not relationally connecting with the people. They are more of a barrier to Sunday school ministry than anything else. And we're going to talk more about this in a few minutes. But you've got to make sure you enlist the right people, and then you constantly equip the people you have. Those of you that raised your hand and said it's my job or in my role of responsibility to oversee our Sunday schools, you got to constantly be equipping the people in which you lead. What book could I get them while I'm here? What lesson could I take home and teach to them? How can I invest in their life? How can I help them? How can I draw them closer to Jesus Christ? How can I sharpen their skills? You always have to be thinking this way as the leader. Then why else did they not grow? Letter E, an assumption that Sunday school is outdated or irrelevant. An assumption that Sunday school is outdated or irrelevant. And we don't have a lot of time to spend here, although we could philosophically. But what I will say quickly is this. I know there is a very popular trend towards the smaller group, maybe replacing the midweek and being in homes and having a fellowship and so forth. And let me pause and say two things. Number one, I have good friends who are in church planting endeavors who, quite frankly, to get it done, it's what they have to do, and I thank God for it. By the way, and I do believe the koinonia that happens there, the fellowship, is a biblical principle. Now, for us here, we don't have the problem of no Sunday school space. We have Sunday school classrooms, and most of you have Sunday school classrooms. And I happen to believe that we're not looking for less church, we're looking for more church. The Bible says, so much the more as you see the day approaching. So whenever the conversation has come up here, it's been like, if we have the space, why would we go to church 25% less of the time we do now? What's that profiting us? And we could just go through the last 6 weeks of Wednesday night messages we've heard and said, how we do without any of those? And every time that discussion's been had, that's been the answer. All right, we'll just keep going with what we got. And so you've got to be convinced what we're doing is right. It's not, you may be doing something that works, but you're just not doing it well, so it's not working for you. The idea then is not to throw it out, because listen, sometimes in our culture and the trendiness of today, we will say something like, Sunday school doesn't work anymore, we're going to do these small groups. And if that church wasn't doing Sunday school well, you often find that church not doing small groups well. The problem was not what they were doing, it was how they were doing it. Now, what's happening for your church under the authority of your pastor, we support it. We love you. But if you're leading a Sunday school class in a Sunday school ministry, you have to believe from the inside out, what we're doing works. Man, it's relevant. It's helpful. This is a wonderful thing. It's like being at football. If you're going to go play a team in your mind that you think you can't beat, you might as well not even get on the bus, because you're not going to compete if you don't think you can win. And if you're going to be involved in a ministry, you have to be convinced at your very core, this works. This is going to see life change, and God is going to bless it indeed. And so Sunday schools who are not growing are making that wrong assumption. Now, how, fourthly, to build a growing Sunday school. So still looking at the big structure of the entire system of the Sunday school. How to build a growing Sunday school. Not just a class, we'll get to that in a minute, but the Sunday school as a whole. Now, we need the desire. And it does begin there, but it does not stop there. And there's a lot of myths today about why Sunday schools do not grow. And we're going to debunk some of those and look at some principles as to why they do. First of all, when you have a Sunday school who's growing, letter A, you have the pastor who's promoting it. The pastor must promote it. Now, that's publicly from the pulpit. Our pastor will often say after 8:30 service, boy, everybody's going to their adult Bible fellowship. That's what we call them here. And boy, if you're not, you need to go to guest services and find one. We talk about it all the time. We talk about it in our starting point class. We talk about it in discipleship. When we meet a visitor in our church, the first question we ask them is, hey, have you visited one of our adult Bible fellowships yet? we know one of the first steps to assimilation is get them in a class. It's not going to happen very fast in a room of 2,000 people for a worship service. They got to get in a room where somebody's looking them in the eye, getting connected with them relationally, and getting that process underway. And so that's a big part of our DNA, making sure they get there. So it's got to be promoted from the pulpit. The other side note I wrote down here was, it's got to be promoted backstage. And by that I mean, it's got to be in the budget. Everybody's got to know about it. I think Pastor mentioned it just briefly, but at times we'll spend money here and there and so forth, and the adult ministries doesn't get any money. And we understand the dynamic of it all and the Lord's provision of it all, but these are the people who are doing the tithing. So we want to invest in them as well, and maybe having some curriculum or doing some this or doing some that. There really ought to be some emphasis and some seed sown there. So make sure it's being promoted. Letter B, what are they doing? The Sunday school leaders are being equipped. The Sunday school leaders must be equipped to see the Sunday school ministry as a whole grow. A recent survey showed that 40% of churches did not provide any training for their leaders or teachers in the previous 12 months. 40% of churches, no training in the previous 12 months. You've got to provide equipping for your leaders. What we do here, once a month, the third Sunday night of the month at 4 o'clock, 1 hour before evening service, we meet in West Wing 201, and that is our Adult Bible Fellowship Teachers Training Meeting. Happens every month on that Sunday. My team and I, we put it on, and we have refreshments, and we have a newsletter of updates and calendar items and announcements, and then I teach a training lesson. Some of the things I'm teaching you, I taught them a few months ago, and we talk about various things that we need to improve on, and we're getting training and equip, and I'm sharing some things with them that I'm learning and so forth, and we're encouraging them. In that meeting, I might recognize their birthday, or I might recognize their anniversary, or someone who had a special day, or someone who recently saw a couple complete discipleship, or whatever. But it's just equipping the saints for the work of the ministry and keeping the saints encouraged in the work of the ministry is the purpose of that meeting. And we do that for adults. We do it for teens. We do it for children. We're constantly looking to continue to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And the growing Sunday school is continuing to equip their leaders. Let us see. Their expectations must be established and communicated. In a growing Sunday school, your expectations and your are being established and communicated. What you'll find in the ministry is that we often recruit 90% of our problems because our recruitment of the people we serve with is poor. We pick the wrong people, we inadequately equip the people, and then we're frustrated with them when really we should be frustrated with ourselves. And we've got to make sure in the process, I'm going to teach more about this tomorrow at 2:30. I'm not going to go through the whole process right now. But we've got to be careful that we have a process for identifying the right kind of people, vetting the right kind of people, having a peace about the right kind of people to get involved, and then continuing to engage the right kind of people. If I enlist them, they're mine. So I can't get frustrated with their class isn't growing, this isn't going well, that's going well. I got to get frustrated with me. I enlisted them. So either I didn't enlist well, or I haven't equipped since I enlisted well. Either way, it's a leadership problem. Not a fellowship problem. It's a leadership problem. And I've got to make sure in that process that what we are and what we do is established, and then that it is clearly communicated with them. Might be our leadership requirements, might be what's going to be expected of them, and those types of things. Then letter D, the Sunday school teachers for a growing Sunday school are committed to be Sunday school leaders. There's a big difference between a Sunday school teacher and a Sunday school leader. The actual teaching of the lesson and his design is a very small percentage of what I do to lead the class. Now, I'm not saying it's not important. Of course it's important. It's the teaching of the Word of God. It's important. But just, let's put it this way. A lot of people could teach a class and never lead it anywhere. Okay? Big difference between a Sunday school teacher and a Sunday school leader. Sunday school leader can still be a good teacher. I'd like to be a good teacher someday. But there's a whole lot more to leading a class than just teaching the lesson. And we have to make sure in that enlistment and that equipping and that establishing direction process that we're communicating to these leaders, it's a whole lot more than just teaching a lesson. And sometimes for our lay teachers, I almost feel bad because in our ministry, They are the front line of the pastoral responsibility. And we've got some amazing teachers. But when it comes to the hospital visitation, when it comes to the needs being met and so forth, our ABF leaders carry a tremendous role in accomplishing that work of the church. And so whatever that may be for your ministry and the dynamic of it, make sure it's communicated and that they're on board. Now, let's step back into the individual class. We talked about the Sunday school a little bit. Let's go back to the class number 5, how to build a growing class. And you are here potentially in leading a class, most of you. How to build a growing class. And this is super practical. Some of you, maybe we're just getting to know one another. I'm real bottom shelf kind of guy. So if you're looking for deeper stuff, there's going to be some good sessions next hour, and I can recommend a couple of guys. All right? So how to build a growing class. And looking specifically at some practices of teachers just to build a growing class. Letter A, go soul winning. Go soul winning. You want to build a growing class? Go soul winning. Oh, my class isn't growing. How many doors did you knock on last week? I'm telling you something, yes. It always goes back to that for me. Always, always. I can look at my class and I can see, man, we're not where we should be. Where's my door knocking? It always goes back to that. Why? Because that's the command. And the more I go, the more people I meet. The more people I meet, the more people I can invite. The more people I invite, the more people who come. The more people who come, the more people I can follow up on. The more people I can follow up on, the more people who get added. It's just the way it works. You got to get some more hooks in the water. So it starts with going out soul winning. You've heard a lot about this conference, and that's intentional. Letter B, follow up on prospects and visitors. A leader of a growing class is tenaciously following up on prospects and visitors. I promise you, the lady I met last night, my wife and I will see Saturday. I promise you that. Her name is right here on my cue card from last night. Her address and her phone number. It's going to be a busy week, but that will happen. Why? Because that's how you build. That's how you build. Your prospects have to become gold to you. That's job security in any ministry. You want to stay around someplace for a long time, produce and solve problems. It's about as simple as that. It's pretty hard to get rid of a guy who keeps producing. So you got to keep after prospects. And then you got to go after visitors. And Pastor talked about in our general session, so we won't spend a lot of time on it here. But if God gives you someone to steward in your class or church, I mean, if somebody sits in this room as a visitor of His design, and the 6 days following that day, I will get to the white of their eyes. I've made follow-up visits at 11 o'clock at night. I've made them in the craziest of places. But whatever it takes, I'm going to go see them. Why? Because I want God to know we want new people in our class. And we will prove it by how we steward every new one you give us. We have a process. We're diligent about it. We've got a team that works on it. And we want it all the time. The 3 weeks following Easter Sunday, God gave us a miraculous celebration of the Lord's resurrection on April the 5th. The 12th, 19th, and 26th. In this room, in those three Sundays, if you take the first-time visitors, we had 33 adults visit our His Design Couples class following the Lord's resurrection for the first time in those 3 weeks. I think we had 19 the first week and then so on and so forth. And to God be the glory, we got to every single one of those with a gift, with a gospel presentation, with an interaction, and probably 5 or 6 families on that stage last night were those families that heard about this church on Easter and have begun to get involved. And last night representing that through the fact they've been recently added. So you want to follow up tenaciously. Let us see, this is practical. Have people in your home. Pastor talked about that a little bit already, but it's a great practice. Have people in your home. It is a way for you just to be relationally connected with them. It's a way for you not to be maybe in their presence in a suit and tie. It's a way for them to see you as maybe being normal. It's a way for them to see what a Christian home looks like where the husband and father is actually the leader and the entire home is not built around the entertainment. And maybe there's some good Christian music and things of this nature. Children are obedient to their parents. All those kinds of things are pretty amazing and revolutionary for some families. You want to have them in your home. Letter D, set goals. If you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. Set goals. What's your goal? I was studying that for my own personal life this past week. What's my goal for folks added to the church? What's our goal for our class And where are we at? Boy, we're coming up to being 6 months into it, halfway through. How are we doing? Are we reaching our goals? Are we halfway there? Summer's a good time of assessment, gearing up. Where are we going in the fall? You want to have some goals. I understand the end goal is to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But he told me, occupy till I come. Well, I want to get something done while the Lord's coming back, and I'm going to set some goals to get it done, and maybe it's just guys like me that lead a little more direction, but I believe that if we can set some goals and work towards some things, we can see some things happen in the work of the Lord. Listen, if we can set goals for things like how much money we want to make, how much we want to save, how much weight we want to lose, how much whatever, what we want our fantasy team to do or whatever, we can certainly set some goals for the work of the Lord, all right? Set some goals. Number next. Letter E, have special days. Have some special days. These are practical. Have some special days. We have done various things in that regard. We might do a month-long campaign. Every first-time guest in our class gets a $5 gift card to Starbucks, or we'll do an anniversary of the class. Can often be a special day. You can find some things, even conjunction with the church, that is special. But have some special days. And special days are a time to invite new people and some people who haven't been there in a while to get them back. Oh, you got to be there. It's our special day. Letter F, promote a new teaching series. This is something our pastor here does so well when we're going into a new preaching series. But in classes, it can be done. When you're getting ready to go into a new teaching series, if you teach a singles class and you're going to launch into this curriculum, boy, use that as a promotion. Let people know. Try to reach people through. If you're teaching a couples class, something on parenting or marriage or something of this nature can be very helpful in that regard. So promote some new teaching series. Letter G, have activities. Have activities. We have 12 a year. We do 6 for couples, 6 for families. And they're a great opportunity. I'm telling you, sometimes as the leader, when it comes to activities, you're driving the activity and you're thinking, what are we doing? This is one more thing. And then you get there and, man, here we go. And you leave going, I'm so glad we did that. So many connections and so many good things can happen from that. Have activities and have good fellowship and so forth, but really work at getting some new people connected and bonded into the class. Letter H, disciple new members. Disciple new members. You want to build a growing class? Disciple the new people that God is giving you. This helps close the back door. It helps get them rooted and grounded in the Word of God. A leader always has to focus on recruitment and retention. The front door's got to be wide open. We got to go get them, but we better make sure the back door's closed and we're keeping them as well. And discipleship can help with that. We're going to talk more about that in another session. Letter I, develop a team. You want to build a growing class? Get people to help you. No teacher can do it all. Every teacher has limitations of time, talent, ability, whatever the case may be. Develop a team. That's what the Lord told us to pray for. And we want to make sure that we are enlisting some help. The more people you can enlist to help you, the more people your class can reach. I don't want to be a part of a ministry that the sum total is what I can accomplish. Boring. I don't want to be a part of that. Man, let's get a team together and see what we can do. One of the guys from my class came to me last time with the invitation in the back, and he said, Raul, will you pray with me? Man, I'm convicted and I want to see something built. And I called him by name and I said, I do too. Man, I'm praying for our class. And we knelt down right back there and we prayed that God would give us some fruit. And I wrote down his name and I'm going to write him a letter and I'm going to keep him accountable and I'm going to encourage him. Why? Because I need a team member. And if he wants to be a team member, boy, I sure want him to be a part of that. Be sure you're involving people and training them along the way. Then, letter six, as we wrap up, how do I motivate people to get involved? Okay, so here's some practical things on how to build a class, but how do I get those people to be a part of my team and motivate them and keep them involved in the work of the Lord? And the Bible does challenge you and I in Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Couple thoughts and practically, letter A, prayer. It's how we motivate people. The Bible says in Acts 4:31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Where does that boldness come from? Prayer. The greatest motivator is the Holy Spirit of God. Sometimes we spend more time talking to men about God and not enough time talking to God about men. Oftentimes the best teams are developed in the prayer closet, then the enlistment process. Praying for people, asking for God's leading and discernment, who to ask, when is the right time to ask, and then going after that person. It all begins with prayer. And I would say here quickly, pray for your class. For years, my wife and I have had a practice every Sunday morning, early in the morning, we'll pray through our class by name. And that takes a little while right now, but that's what we do. And it's just a way for us to stay engaged in the spiritual need of the class. And it's such a blessing. I often stand right out here in this hallway and just shake hands as folks come in. And every Sunday there's an answered prayer that walks through the door because they came or something's happening in their life or whatever. Boy, and stay involved in the prayer. Let it be. How can I motivate people to get involved? Enthusiasm. Enthusiasm. Romans 12:11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. We've got to be enthusiastic about what we do. Are you and I excited about what God has done for us? And listen, if we're going to be a leader that is leading people, we have to be passionate about what it is that we're doing. Now, everybody may display their passion a little differently, and that's fine. God made us unique, and thank God for it. But whatever it is, you got to be passionate about it. If you are not excited about what you're doing, then pray tell me, why would anybody want to do it with you? If you're not into it to give it your all, I'm sorry. Why do you want me to? It's not going to work. If you're not in, why would I get in? Well, you ought to do it because you love God. Well, then why aren't you in? Enthusiasm. Passion. Constrained by the love of Christ, the same intensity that Jesus Christ climbed Calvary's hill and gave his life for me is the same intensity. I want to serve him. Every day he gives me breath, and everybody that I have the privilege of serving with, I want them to know, man, this is the greatest thing we could do. And there's got to be some enthusiasm in that. Man, if we'll go home with some enthusiasm and get some people on board, and it's not just a man-made frenzy of, man, we'll all do this and win a trip to Hawaii or something, but there needs to be some heartfelt passion about what we're doing for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us see. How do we motivate people? Vision. Where there's no vision, the people perish. What do we see God doing in our class or ministry? What is our vision? What has God given us for the future? What did you write down in your piece of wood last night? What is it that God's laying on your heart? And if you're at this stage of the conference and there's nothing there, let's make that a prayer request. Lord, by the time we leave here Wednesday night, could I have something by way of vision? Can I have something as I leave this campus that this is what God wants me to do and accomplish and get done for His honor and for His glory? But then, letter D, you need verbalization. The vision has to be communicated. And can I say for those who've been doing it for a while and some more than me, you've got to communicate that over and over and over and over and over and over again. You know, I was thinking this morning when Dr. Getz was preaching and talking about just some of the things that need to be done, I was thinking, boy, this fall, I need to take all of my care group leaders, the men, soul winning with me this fall. I just need to schedule it and I need to get it done. Why? Because sometimes you can get somebody engaged with you in the work for a while, and if you're not careful, they begin to lose some intensity, and you got to communicate that again. And you got to help them to see it again. And you got to remind them of what we're doing again. And you got to stay after that and communicate it all of the time. I'll communicate in this classroom for His design. Man, isn't it exciting to see what God is doing? And isn't it a blessing to see the new families that have been added? And it's not about numbers, but we don't want to limit what God could do. I think there's still some families in our area that could be reached, and we want to be mindful of that. Then letter E, appreciation. Appreciation. When someone knows they are appreciated and their efforts are appreciated, they're likely to get re-engaged in the work. How can we motivate people to be involved in the work of the Lord? Appreciate them. If somebody goes the extra mile, notice it. You know, one of the things I did last night, we had 15 families from our couples class up on that stage last night. That was a blessing. 12 months ago, they weren't here, and now they're here in the church. And I wrote down all of their names. And I intend to write them a letter with a small gift this week and just thank them for being a part of that. And I just want them to know that they're new and they're getting assimilated. And for about half of them, that was the first time ever in church on a Monday night in their entire life. And they got down the program and figured, man, I've been here 45 minutes. I'm going home, you know. And that's all right. We're working on it. But I want them to know we appreciate them. We appreciate the effort. And we want to make sure we're communicating that with them. Make sure you're communicating that to your workers. Appreciation. Find somebody doing something right and make a big deal of it. And then lastly, how do we motivate people? Letter F, through our personal commitment. In any area of ministry, sphere of influence, and leadership, it's highly unlikely that you will get a greater level of commitment from the followers then you will get exhibited by the leader. So if we're going to motivate people to be involved, it must begin from our hearts unto the Lord with personal commitment. And I thought of this and I jotted it down. It's not in your notes. But do you get to class early or late? Is it set up or is it a mess? Are you prepared or unprepared? Are you friendly or not friendly? Are you always there or do you frequently miss? Are you involved in all the work of the church or seldom? Is everything you do done with excellence as unto the Lord, or does it often lack? I think sometimes we have to step back and say, hey, I can talk about how tough culture is and how wayward America is and how disengaged my class is, or I can look in the mirror and ask one question. Am I committed? Am I in? Does God have my all? Because if He doesn't, then I don't know another place to start than there. Lord, help me to be in. And then help me to pray and help me to get some people helping me and let's go get something done. And we don't need a lot. We just need a few. And a few will get some more if it's done right. And boy, we can see what God can build. And I pray that God will use all of us as we pray for and encourage one another to build a growing class, a growing Sunday school ministry for the purpose of reaching our communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ, reaching people, teaching people, and ministering to their needs. Heavenly Father, we love you, and we thank you for some time here at this conference. Thank you for these precious servants, these choice men and women of God. Lord, we're so grateful they're here with us on the campus. And Lord, I am so appreciative of their labor of love and the ministry of Sunday school. Leading a class, leading the ministry, serving in a class, whatever their capacity may be. Lord, thank you for them. And I pray that help all of us today to be motivated by the right motivating factors, our obedience to you, our desire to follow your example, our desire to have the joy that growth brings. And may we look at our ministry as a whole and our own class, but more specifically, our own life. And may you have all of us. And may we go home surrendered, yielded, sold out, committed to you. And may we get in a prayer closet and would you just give us a few that we could co-labor with to reach people and make a difference. And I pray as a result of that, every class, group, fellowship, small group, care group, whatever the case may be, I pray that it would see growth that brings you honor and glory, people reach for eternity, and lives transformably changed by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Bless these dear people, their families, and their ministries, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for being here. We got about 10 minutes or so to the next sessions in other rooms. Thanks for being a part of this session today.